will write something in order to make sense of the past, but oftentimes our future self will need to hear that very same message repeated again. This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story. Hi, friends. We have something really exciting to celebrate today. Did you know that Heart of the Story is 5 years old? It is. It was launched in February of 2021. My goodness. I started the podcast because during the pandemic, I felt really lonely as a writer. I was used to performing my stories on stages and sharing my work with the world. And all of a sudden, everything came to a halt. And I didn't know what the state of the publishing industry was going to be like. Would it survive the pandemic? And I had these essays that I'd been writing, and I really wanted to share them with an audience. And so with the help of my dear producer, Michelle Rado, I decided to put them out into the world via podcast. In the early episodes, I would read an essay and Michelle would score it. And so you would have this beautiful blend of music and essay. And we decided that as we embark on year 6, my goodness, of Heart of the Story, that I would revisit some of those essays and give you some insider scoop about, one, what it's like to listen to these pieces that were not only performed several years ago, but written even earlier than that, how my life is different and the same in some ways. But also, I'm going to give you the inside scoop about the writing process. How did I go about developing these pieces from idea into story? And what were some of the craft elements that went into play? I have to tell you, listening back to these pieces has been a wild ride. It really has. And you're going to hear all about it because every single month I'm going to release an episode or two where I do exactly that. I share an essay with you from the early years, and then I reflect on it, and then I give you the behind-the-scenes look at the writing of the piece. So I'm really, really excited to be doing that this year. And in this essay that you're about to hear, it's the very first one. It's the episode number one essay, the essay that started it all, and it just so happens to also be the very first essay in my essay collection, Come Home to Your Heart. So what happened was, after all of the podcast episodes of sharing my work into the world and post-pandemic, I saw that, okay, people are still reading and buying books. I ended up putting together all of these essays into an essay collection called Come Home to Your Heart that was published in 2023. And so the podcast was really a way for me to try out some of my material and see what was working and see what else needed to be written down. So it's just so full circle to be able to bring these essays back because they've had many, many lives, not only the experience of having lived the moments and then writing about them and then performing them on this show and then cultivating them into an essay collection and now revisiting them again several years later. So we are about to hear that very first essay that launched the podcast and the very first essay that ended up in Come Home to Your Heart. Without further ado, here's that first essay.
Take a breath, Mama. Slow it down, honey. It's all going to be okay.
I wrote these words on a summer afternoon in 2015 when it felt like things were definitely not going to be okay. It was one of those days when everyone else seemed to be skipping on sunshine. I was at my favorite Chicago coffee shop where smiling people were strolling in like they had not a care in the world. Meanwhile, I was the woman worrying in the corner, waiting to hear back on two major pieces of news: whether I'd gotten the university teaching job that I'd just interviewed for, and whether my memoir would be published. There were many worse hardships in the world, some I'd already been through, some I couldn't possibly fathom, but still I was undone. You see, I had sacrificed everything, emotionally and financially, to move my family from Massachusetts back to my hometown of Chicago and pursue my dreams. But I had no idea if it had all been a terrible mistake. On paper, the decision didn't make any sense whatsoever. To leave our lovely home in rural Massachusetts and move my nature-loving husband and one-year-old son to a tiny apartment in a big city. But I wanted to be closer to my mom and sister and a thriving artistic community that could foster my writing. I had felt the pull and I'd followed it, but now here we were in the Windy City and our Massachusetts house wasn't selling, and my professional fate was in the hands of a hiring committee and a publishing house editor. And if none of these things panned out, we were in big trouble. Nothing was in my control, and it was maddening. It's easy to follow your heart when the path is paved, not so easy when nothing is guaranteed. As I watched the carefree patrons sipping coffee, I did the only thing I knew how to do when I was an emotional pretzel. I pulled out my flower-covered journal and started scribbling. What came out of me wasn't intentional. I don't know where it came from, and I had never done it before, but I wrote a letter from my future self to my present self. I just needed someone to reassure me, and that someone, apparently, was me. As the sun streamed onto the pages, I wrote frantically, channeling her, my all-knowing, older, wiser voice. The words scrawled across the page, sentences formed, as if by their own volition. The ink dried on the paper, and I whispered the words to myself above the buzz of the espresso machine. "Take a breath, Mama. Slow it down, honey. It's all going to be okay." The reassurance washed over me, steadying my breath as I read the rest of the letter to myself in the coffee shop. My wiser self reassured me about the future, that it wouldn't look the way I'd planned, but I would eventually fulfill my dreams of teaching and publishing. My knee stopped bouncing. My pulse harmonized with my heart. The voice in the messages was so certain. I knew that she, whomever she was right. Throughout my life, I had never waved my hands over a crystal ball or dealt a tarot deck, but in hard moments, I had had deep knowings, a trust in myself, an intuitive sense. The sad part was that, like so many of us, I had rarely stopped long enough to listen. I had sought advice from therapists and friends, but I'd rarely asked myself what it was that I already knew. And the words that came to me that day changed me for good. In the years to come, the guidance I received during my journal sessions helped me to witness more and worry less. By learning to talk to myself tenderly, I was able to prioritize the miraculous everyday experiences that mattered most. Playing, savoring, breathing, loving, even as the chaos swirled around me. I didn't realize that these teachable moments could appeal to other people until I read one aloud at a writing workshop and one of the participants came up to me after. "That was exactly what I needed to hear right now," she said. It occurred to me then that I wasn't just writing to myself, I was writing to women everywhere. I was writing to my sister, a 32-year-old social worker and my emotional confidant. I was writing to the other mamas who both cherish their children and yearn for a minute alone. I was writing to the women around the world that I've mentored as a writing coach, who've been through it all and have been brave enough to share their stories. I channel their voices each time I write to myself. What I say to my sister, to the other women, and now to you, dear listener, is the same thing that my own wise voice has said to me time and time again. Take a breath, Mama. Slow it down, honey. It's all gonna be okay. Trust in yourself. All you need is already here inside of you.
Oh, I have to tell you, it was so interesting to listen to this one again at this point in my life, because in 2015, when I originally wrote that letter to self, when it felt like nothing was in my control and everything was so uncertain, it felt like such a heightened time in my life. It felt like things were more uncertain than they had ever been. Like, what is going to happen with my job? What is going to happen with this creative work I've poured years into? Am I going to be able to pay the bills and feed my family? Like, has this move been a major mistake? I mean, everything felt on the line. Here we are now, 2026, 11 years later. My son, who was just 2 years old then, is now 12, going on 13. And while maybe one would hope that life would get more certain and more within one's control, that's not how life works. So guess what? We're in another state of uncertainty, as I imagine we always will be. So in our particular circumstance, we moved from Chicago to Florida 3.5 years ago. And while I hoped that maybe we would have a clearer idea at this point about how rooted we are here or not, we don't. And so we're in this limbo of to continue renting or to buy a home, to plant down roots, or do we keep our horizons open because Gio will be launching out into the world in just 5 little years when he finishes high school? What is our path forward? It feels like I'm revisiting the self who wrote that letter in 2015, asking the same questions and wondering about what the future will hold. And so to listen to it again and be reminded of my inner knowledge as the touchstone to return to was really beautiful. I was laughing to myself. It was almost like past me wrote a letter that now me needed to hear. And that is the beauty of revisiting our work. It is really funny that we'll write something in order to make sense of the past, but oftentimes our future self will need to hear that very same message repeated again. And that's what happened in this circumstance. And so if you are someone who is feeling uncertain or like nothing is within your control, I wrote this essay speaking directly to you because, oh gosh, I've had that experience so many times. And when I wrote that essay, I really wanted it to feel like not just a letter from myself to myself, but a letter from myself to anyone in the world who is experiencing uncertainty. In fact, the dedication that I have at the beginning of Come Home to Your Heart says, "For all the women who have desperately been missing themselves, welcome home." Come Home to Your Heart, the essay collection, really chronicled my journey of softening back into the wisdom of myself. It's like that moss that covers a stone, and the stone is the core self-wisdom. So much moss had grown over my innate knowledge that I spent many, many years and still do spend so much time dusting away the moss. And when I listened to this essay again, I realized how grateful I am that since 2015, when I wrote that first letter, I have dedicated so much of my life to tapping into my inner wisdom, from meditating to doing these letters to self in my journal, to attending silent retreats, to being in nature and chatting with the trees. I mean, I feel so much closer to my core self, my innate self, and my inner wisdom. But it doesn't mean that I don't need this reminder again and again. So I was grateful to hear it. And then in terms of the writing, when I look at this piece, I really think about something that I call FED, fears, expectations, and desires. Whenever I am writing a scene and whenever I'm coaching someone to write a scene, I always want to make sure that my character's desires and expectations are laid bare pretty early on, because it shows the narrator's motivation and wants. And the more that the character wants something, the more the reader wants it for them. But even more so, the more that the character has sacrificed to try to get that thing, the higher the stakes are. And without a doubt, what's going to happen is that whatever the character desires, there will be obstacles towards, and whatever they expect won't be exactly met with a matching reality. And when that happens, there's tension, there's fear, there is mayhem. So knowing the character's desires and expectations and fears really lays the groundwork for the narrative arc of this story. And in this case, I was trying to show that my desires were to have this professor job, to have my book be out in the world, and to be able to feed my family by having that professor job, and to have proof of this creative project that I had put years of work into, my memoir. I wanted to see it come out in the world. And so my expectations were that things would just unfold without a hiccup, that I would interview for the job and get the job, that I would write the memoir and publish the memoir, that we would move to Chicago and we would sell our house in Massachusetts, and everything would be confirmed that all of these great leaps that I had taken were worth it, that it was all the right choice. And so that day when I was sitting in the coffee shop and everything seemed up in the air, no promises, no guarantee, it felt maddening. And that's what I was trying to show for my narrator on the page. So when you're thinking about your own writing, you want to be thinking about fears, expectations, and desires. And whatever the desires and expectations are, you're going to show how they are challenged by the actual reality of the situation. And finally, in this case, I wanted to show that while no matter what happened, whether I got the job or I didn't, whether my book was published or it wasn't, what I was cultivating was a deep connection to self that was unshakable. As a recent teacher in a workshop that I was at the silent meditation retreat I went to in January said, "Be the leaf that is not rattled by the wind." And that's what I was cultivating. That was just the beginning of when I was really tapping into my inner wisdom on the page. So I wanted to showcase that was the thing that helped alleviate all of my anxiety. And the last thing I wanted to show was my connection with the audience. So it was like towards the end of the essay, I was writing to that group of women, whoever might be reading it. So it's like, here's the letter I wrote to myself, but here's now also a letter in a way I'm writing to you, dear reader. I wanted the reader to feel like we were in conversation, because I myself love when I read pieces and books that draw me in, that speak directly to me, and that fold me into the experience. So when you are doing your writing, maybe you can keep in mind that fear, expectation, and desire, and also, who are you speaking to? In my MFA program at Columbia College, at the start of any of the stories that we were writing in our journals, because laptops were not allowed in that program. Yeah, imagine that. We would always have to say, dear so-and-so, and we would write our scenes to a person so that we always had a sense of our reader in mind. So maybe try that out the next time you're writing. If you want more of these essays, the full versions, the ones that ended up going into my book, guess what? You can buy my book, Come Home to Your Heart. It's available wherever books are sold. And it is so near and dear to me, because the second part of each chapter after you have the essay contains journal prompts, where now it's your turn to explore some of your own material. And every single chapter has that, an essay and then journal prompts for you. The link is in the show notes. Remember, if you love this podcast, please follow, like, subscribe, leave reviews, share it with a friend. It really, really means the whole world to me when you do that. Thank you to my dear producer, Michelle Rado, who always makes this podcast the best that it can be. And remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next time.